Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. All right, welcome back, and it is Now or Never, and the debt is fraud, and please consider yourself invited and feel free to join the Loud and Liberty prayer Monday through Friday. The information is on the Reclaiming the Republic, Reclaiming the Republic Red State Talk Radio page. And so the other thing I want to emphasize is that your campaign begins today. And as a matter of fact, hopefully we can get a campaign kickstarted for governor, because I know it's 2 years out, but if somebody is starting their campaign, this is where they can take an advantage for 2 years of making a public relations campaign on what a crappy, unconstitutional, unworthy governor that the state of Wyoming has, and actually call him out for all, this Governor Gordon, call him out for all of his violations and hold him accountable. And so we're hoping to find, you know, the best candidate, because we want to win for the first time. And when's the last time Wyoming has actually had a constitutional governor? Do you know of any?
I don't.
I know. It's just you've always been plagued with rhinos.
Yeah.
And so I think that this is where I believe there needs to be more and more. Because I think one of the things that you guys actually took care of in the last 2 years, and that credit goes to the Secretary of State, Chuck Gray, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think he really pushed the issue of the crossover voting and that type of stuff. Not to where it needs to be, but at least he's addressing it and has reduced some of it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've even heard talk of people saying when we had a Democrat governor, he was even more conservative than the Republican ones.
Yes.
I wasn't here back then, but...
Okay. All right, so it being important that we actually have a governor, because if you actually have a good legislative body, which I believe this coming year is going to be a good legislative body, and so this may actually prove that if we have a really strong campaign, because if your governor race is all about getting constitutionalists in and taking back the state property and taking back the state roles, responsibilities, powers, those types of things, then you can actually, that governor race can actually help buoy good constitutionalists into the state legislature. It's, we see this with presidential campaigns too, right? So Wyoming should actually have a really strong off-year election, or midterm is what they call it. It's not a midterm in Wyoming because an executive is being elected. Most other states, the governor is elected on the same year as the presidential. So anyway, do you remember where we left off?
Yeah, so we read part of 7.
That's right.
But you said we're going to go back and read it again.
That's right. And, oh, folks, I might as well remind you that Timber Nation has already got enough orders to get through, but now's the time to kind of plan for replacing that entertainment center or doing a custom wall bookshelf instead of actually having a box bookshelf, just putting a series of shelves along your wall. Anyway, there's all sorts of things you can do if you're looking to, you know, spruce up the home or make some home improvements, what have you. Anyway, check them out, timbernation.com. And we're diving into where Madison is actually combating this concept of nullification, single state nullification. In other words, you got to remember, because we're going to talk about this in context to Wyoming, and we're going to talk about this in context to your state, because when they create a law that law is just something that they're, we're talking criminal, a criminal law that they're creating. Now, they've never actually gone across, or I should say, they have never, in Madison's time, they never felt the necessity of actually standing up to an assumption of power. Not a criminal assumption of power, but when we look at the National Bank, they really didn't do anything. Now, what would have Madison and Jefferson done? What would they have stood up and done if the state was actually losing its land and its ability to be productive? Let's say you had a bunch of timber or you had a lot of mining. And as a matter of fact, a good case in point that shares not only with Wyoming, but a lot of other states, this concept of mining and the regulations that have come in and actually shut down a state's ability to actually harvest its resources. In other words, this is one way of creating a front of economic warfare against a bunch of states. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, does a state actually have the authority to ignore that? Absolutely. Because it's one thing for a federal government to actually create laws and try to inflict those. But it's another thing for them to come, and we talked about this, I think I mentioned this, about cutting off your arm. Now, I don't think I talked about this with you, but I think I mentioned this either on Friday or Monday, that single state nullification is not nullifying when a bunch of states actually say, hey, where do they get the right to take this land from us? When we came into the Union, they didn't have the authority to do this. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a good case in point as well. When the Supreme Court, now this isn't a law from Congress. This is an edict from the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court actually reconfigured all of the states to set up their representation based on population instead of based on the governments you created, your counties. And this is why you have legislative districts instead of having representation from your county. So when we look at that, can that actually be inflicted upon the states from the federal government? Can the court actually rule and basically impose that? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And so all we need is we need to get multiple states and enough states to actually start standing up, because as they start actually taking back, because I can't see the Supreme Court coming out with marshals or what have you and actually trying to wage war against states that are taking back the Republican form of government as configured initially. And as a matter of fact, this would be a perfect time for the counties to actually step in and say, no, we want true bicameral representation, not the type of crap that was established, and we want an amendment to the Constitution. As a matter of fact, this is where, this is where the counties should actually be preparing themselves by creating constitutions for the counties and start moving forward in reconfiguring their government. In so doing, they will actually be able to start addressing two things at once. They'll be cleaning up their state as well as working with other states and cleaning up the federal government. Because it's not about nullification. It is about interposition. We need to get other states to actually stand up and say, you know what? When you actually have multiple states pushing back and you have enough states actually pushing back and forcing the federal government's BLM, their land seizures, all this other stuff. I mean, this is the beginning of the taking back of America. See, most people think it's just taking back, you know, the party. But that will never solve the problem. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so back to what Madison is talking about, because he's going through this fact of a single state cannot nullify a law. Go ahead, and let's start over at the top on paragraph 7.
Okay. Under these circumstances, the subject was taken up by Virginia in her resolutions and pursued at the ensuing session of the legislature in a comment explaining and justifying them, remain an immediate object, evidently being to produce a conviction everywhere that the Constitution had been violated by the obnoxious acts and to procure a concurrence and cooperation of the other states in effectuating a repeal of the acts.
Okay, so he's basically saying that that what they're trying to do is they're trying to get all of the states to repeal those acts. And so go ahead, keep going.
She accordingly asserted and offered her proofs at great length that the acts were unconstitutional. She asserted, moreover, and offered her proofs that the state had a right in such cases to interpose.
Okay, so not nullify, interpose. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. First, in their constituent character to which the government of the U.S. was responsible, and otherwise as specially provided by the Constitution, and further, that the state, in their capacity of parties to and creators of the Constitution, had an ulterior right to interpose.
Okay, so let me just add this.
Okay.
Interpose is actually taking action and stopping. Nullification is ignoring. Does that make sense? So when the government is actually taking action, taking your land and coming in and actually saying, you can't use this land anymore, it's ours. In other words, that's like coming in and taking your cattle. You have a right not only to defend yourself, and can you defend yourself and stay in the union? Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I believe that when one state starts defending itself and actually starts seizing what we would call unconstitutional powers from the federal government, then I believe we'll actually see many other states actually taking back their resources. They will start interposing. So, you know, sometimes when somebody gets up to a bully and they interpose, in other words, they say, stop. And that bully basically tries to, you know, it escalates from that point. Does that make sense, this escalation? Mm-hmm. So the bully basically kind of, you know, swings at this person, and the person that's interposing ducks and, you know, punches the bully, kind of knocks him on his head. The next thing you know, a full-out brawl could transpire. But that's if it's one-on-one. This is where, with interposition, you can actually start bringing in the other states and so forth. And next thing you know, it's not about this unruly kid standing up to a bully. It becomes everybody standing up to a bully. In other words, it's not about unruliness. It's about putting that bully in check and back to where that bully belongs. It's really about interposition. Nullifying is just ignoring what the bully is doing to somebody until the bully either strikes them or what have you, right?
That's a good comparison.
Okay. And so when we look at interposition, can a state actually begin interposing?
Absolutely.
Because he's going to talk more and more about in nullification, a single state nullifying and ignoring. It's kind of like, if you have an abuse, because I'm going to try to provide these different analogies, folks, so we can look at it in different ways. If you have a parent, or if you have a child that is becoming abusive, and because we talk about that, or we have a child that's acting up, the federal government being the child, and we have all these parents, if all of the parents ignore the child, then that would be nullification. Because we're just ignoring the child. If we allow the child to rule us, that means that we're going along with the child. If the child is acting up and one of us actually reaches out to interpose and says, stop, you can't do that. Don't make me get up. You've seen this. I mean, I think anybody that's a parent has seen where one parent basically says, don't make me get up. And that child at that point will basically interpret whether this parent is the threat or not, right? Mm-hmm. Because if it's mom, then, you know, if mom's the disciplinarian, then that child's, boom, going to sit down and start behaving. And as a matter of fact, we can even go down the whole analogy where you got one parent saying, stop it, and the child just keeps escalating. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And you get to a point where the parent actually inflects a certain tone, where all of a sudden the child realizes that's the tone where this parent has reached their limit with me, and I better watch my next step. Right? Where the child actually, mm-hmm. you know, because we've actually seen children start at that point when they've pushed the parent to the circumstance or to that tone, then all of a sudden they start behaving. Or they're just a little more cautious and they try to, you know, go around the corner and finish eating the pie, or, you know, actually eat the pie. You know, don't touch that. Don't touch that. I told you not to touch that. And, you know, and the child still, so when they finally feel, okay, I'm, you know, is that pie in your hand? Then the child will go around the corner if they can do that, or they will stop completely. But 9 times out of 10, it's all about power. And it's all about trying to assume power. That's what children do. That's what our federal government has done. That's what politicians do. And so when you're nullifying, you're just basically saying, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You're just ignoring. Mm-hmm. But when you take the duty of arresting the evil, then all of the other states need to cooperate with you. And so it doesn't matter who leads off when it comes to interposing. We're not talking about armed conflict. We're talking about actually, you know, grabbing the hand that's got around your throat and pulling it off your throat. Taking that heel that's on your throat and lifting it off your throat, and then start going into, you know, the acts necessary of getting unfettered and unentangled with this brute that is trying to control you in such a way that it's basically at your utter destruction. We've reached the point, folks, where the federal government's warfare tactics have created such damage. Look at our health. Look at how many people are dying just from the vaccinations of COVID. We're not even talking and including the chemtrails and the crap that they're doing. We're doing to our food.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Our water. Fluoride in our water. They're trying to kill us. There's no doubt about it.
Why? There are some people who still think that's a good idea.
Why is it that Europe is actually kind of, maybe people want to maintain the European cultures and the European people over America, because it seems like the rest of the world is, because they're getting better food, they're kind of standing up, but mm-hmm. the rest of the world is, you know what, these stupid sods, they don't deserve to, you know, anything, so we're just going to keep trotting on them and trotting on them. Folks, we have to start interposing. Okay, so that's where you basically had it. And she asserted, moreover, and offered her proofs that the states had a right in such cases to interpose. Go ahead from there.
Notwithstanding any decision of a constituted authority, which, however, it might be the last resort under the forms of the Constitution in cases falling within the scope of its functions.
So where are you? I'm on the red part, the first red part, where what you read, she asserted, moreover, and offered proofs the states had a right in such cases to interpose. First, in their constituent character, to which the government of the U.S. was responsible, and otherwise as specially provided by the Constitution. That's okay. So you see where I'm at?
Yes.
Okay. So go ahead and pick it up from the semicolon.
And further, that the states in their capacity of parties to and creators of the Constitution had an ulterior right to interpose.
There you go. Keep going.
Notwithstanding any decision of a constituted authority, which, however it might be the last resort under the forms of the Constitution, in cases falling within the scope of its functions,
mm-hmm.
okay. could not preclude an interposition of the states as the parties which made the Constitution and as such possessed an authority paramount to it.
There you go. So as the parents, you don't have to let the child kill you. And you can't let the child kill you, because if so, the union is dead.
Mm-hmm.
The marriage is over. Life is over as we know it. So, again, nullification, as prescribed by many, backed by John C. Calhoun, and as prescribed by, you know, the 10th Amendment Center, the John Birch Society, and even the Eagles Forum is going along with this. Just ignore. Just don't play with that in that case. No. We have to interpose. We actually have to go and look at the lands and the areas that are actually being adversely affected by the strangleholds or by those nasty little fingers that are, you know, attacking you, that are in your state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've talked about how a sheriff, you know, can actually stop, you know, I've said this before, that a sheriff can actually enforce the law. He can actually take a stand in supporting the Constitution. But a sheriff can't necessarily, he doesn't have the authority to kick that out, the government out of his county. He doesn't have that authority because the state is the one that allowed that culprit in. He can protect his county from them executing laws and actually coming after the citizens. But the state legislature, because they are the parents, even though the county actually needs to go to the state legislature and tell them, you get it together before we start interposing on your butts. And so this is where, when it comes to the dealing with the federal government, you have to, I mean, it's, When you have your children come over that have children, the last thing you want to do is have to punish that child as the grandparent. You need to grab that child of yours and basically pull them to the side and say, don't make me go and straighten out your child. Get over there and do your parental duty in making sure that child behaves in my home. You've lived here before. You know we don't do those things, that type of thing, it's because that's what.
So
are
you saying the county's the grandparent?
No. Technically, yeah. When it comes to the federal government, they're the grandparent. And when it comes to the federal government and the people, we're the great grandparents. I mean, doesn't that sound good? We're the great grandparents. We're not just grandparents. We're great.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to be great, right? Anyway, mm-hmm. Let's jump down to paragraph 8.
Okay. In this view of the subject.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Paragraph 9. Actually, okay. Go ahead and read 8, because you know what? It's a train of thought. So go ahead and read 8 and 9.
In this view of the subject, there is nothing which excludes a natural right in the states individually more than in any portion of an individual state, suffering under palpable and insupportable wrongs from seeking relief by resistance and revolution.
Okay, so in this view of the subject, there is nothing which excludes a natural right in the states individually more than any portion of an individual state suffering under palpable and insupportable wrongs. When all of the states are doing it, it's not just one state. All of the states are suffering. You know, when it comes down to those chemtrails, as a matter of fact, I honestly think that if the governor actually had access to his National Guard or his National Air Guard, we'll get into this when we come back, because this is where, you know, just imagine the governor calling the National Air Guard to go up and shoot down that plane that is, you know, up there spraying your people. Just shoot it down and basically start drawing the line saying, you are not attacking us anymore. It's not about basically shooing it away. We have to stop it. We'll be right back after this.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, because we're just talking about chemtrails. We're talking about aircraft that are flying over and actually spewing bad chemicals that are actually pollutants and carcinogens. And so my point is this. We have a governor that actually takes a stand and actually says, I'm going to dispatch my Air National Guard to actually go up and shoot that. And he should have the power to be able to protect his people. This proves that the Dick Act of 1903, unconstitutionally ripped the power of the governor over their militia. And it basically reconfigured the militia to be under full control of the federal government. It didn't seem like that's what they wanted to do. That wasn't the language, but that's what's happened. And so, technically, the fact that they call it National Guard and Air National Guard basically transposes that to national, not state. And my favorite new website, by the way, is flightradar.24. Is it dot? No, flightradar24.com. Have you been there?
I have not.
Okay, so I'll let you, while I'm talking, check out flightradar24.com. Now, it gives you like 20 or 30 minutes to play around so that you can look and zoom in on Wyoming or where you live. And actually, when you're looking at it and you're actually looking up in the air, you should be able to see because you can zoom into a point where you are. And then you should be able to look up and find the aircraft that is actually identified as the flights in the world going around, going over your airspace. Now, when you actually look and you can find those two aircraft, because it'll actually tell you the flight number, and when you click on it, it'll give you the information of the aircraft, Alaskan Airlines. What's that?
What kind of aircraft, or just?
It'll actually tell you. So let me zoom in. I'll do this, and I'll actually click on one, and this tells me that it tells you the flight. It's going from JFK to Seattle, and it is Alaska Airlines. It's ASA 31, and it actually gives you the flight number as well. It gives you the details of that flight.
That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. So actually, as you're zoomed in now, and as you're looking, and you can only see two aircraft in your area, or one aircraft in your area, but you're looking up and you see two other ones, and those two actually happen to be spewing crap. Those are non-registered flights. In other words, why do we actually have non-registered flights in our airspace doing that? Folks, it's time to actually share this website, flightradar24.com, with your state legislators. They need to start understanding that there is crap happening that is not reported, that we're not supposed to know about, and they need to say, we want to know about everything over our airspace. That is our airspace. The federal government has nowhere in the Constitution delegated to it to control airspace, at least airspace over your state, just like they can't control anything under your state or any land in your state. It's your state.
There's actually one flying over Wyoming right now that it says registration not it's not available.
Yeah, so actually, when you actually click on it, you'll actually see its path, you know, as well. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. So I have not played with this during the day where we've actually had clear skies, because for the past couple of weeks, we've had nothing but really thick cloud fog, which, as a matter of fact, when you start looking, and I forget, there's another site that actually reports the chemtrail aircraft, and it's an app for your phone. I think it's only an app for your phone that it'll actually tell you what they're spraying. It's stuff that'll, yeah, you know, it's going to inflict fog. It's going to, you know, seed clouds for rain or what have you. I don't know if you've seen those apps as well.
I have not.
Right. Okay.
What's that called?
I don't know, because I don't use my phone that way, but I have a friend that uses it, and he says, you know, you need to get your, you know, you need to make your phone a computer. And I go, no way. I know there's some advantages to that, but the disadvantages outweigh that completely. So anyway.
Do you still have a flip phone, GR?
What's that?
Do you still have a flip phone?
No, I have a jitterbug. I'm just kidding. That actually, I think, is a flip phone too. But anyway, so let's go into 8, because he's talking about insupportable wrongs and seeking relief by resistance and revolution. But here's what he says. Keep going in 9.
But it falls from no view of the subject that a nullification of a law of the U.S. can, as is now contended, belong rightfully to a single state. As one of the parties to the Constitution, the state not ceasing to avow its adherence to the Constitution, period. A plainer contradiction in terms or a more fatal inlet of anarchy cannot be imagined.
Okay. So he's talking about, though, when it comes to adherence to a law, right? That a nullification of a law. But if that's something different than an exertion of power or tyrannical power that's actually coming in and occupying your land. When you talk about interposition, if you look up the definition, interposition is taking action, the necessary measures, physical, verbal, whatever you want to call it. It starts with actually standing up. You know, because that's what you have to do. And if you have to say, again, the key thing is necessary measures. You first try stop. You don't have the authority to do this. You know, and then reaching out so that they can see you're going to block them, and then grab them, seize them, and kick their butts out. Interposition is is actually acting. Nullifying is ignoring. I want you to understand that's the big difference. Nullifying a law says we're not going to follow that. Interposition is taking, and he's basically talking about using whatever is necessary to seek the resistance, even if necessary, revolution. We don't want revolution. We don't need revolution. All we need to do is assert. We need not to nullify and be passive. We need to assert, because passivity causes anarchy, right? When you don't do anything and you ignore that kid, next thing you know, before you know it, the whole house is going to come crumbling down on you. So,
yeah.
Okay. So let's go ahead and kind of skip down, and let's start off with, actually, you know what? I hate doing this. We actually have to cover this, because he's going to explain in the 10th paragraph, 11th paragraph, because what's really important is in the 12th paragraph. So go ahead and let's go through the 10th. And then, because what he's going to do is he's saying, we're in the third resolution of 98, this is what it said. And then he's going to actually read that in the 10th. And I highlight duty bound to interpose. And then the 12th is right here. So go. Go ahead and start with 8.
10.
10, I mean. Yeah, go ahead.
And what is the text? And what is... Okay. And what is the text in the Proceedings of Virginia, which this spurious doctrine of nullification claims for its parentage? It is found in the third of the resolutions of 98, which is in the following words. In that case of a deliberate and palpable and dangerous exercise of powers not granted by the constitutional compact, the states who are parties thereto have a right and are in duty bound to interpose for arresting the progress of the evil and for maintaining within their respective limits the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them.
Okay, so he says we have to interpose to basically maintain within the respective limits and authorities' rights and liberties appertaining to them. Now go ahead, keep going.
Now, is there anything here from which a single state can infer a right to arrest or annul an act of the general government which it may deem unconstitutional? So far from it that the obvious and proper inference precludes such a right on the part of a single state, plural number being used in every application of the term.
Okay. So he's talking about the going back to remember in his report, he talks about states, the sovereignty of the states and so forth. So when you actually start acting out, it's about working and extending out to the other states to say, we're doing this, we've got to do this. And bottom line, if you're actually protecting yourself and you're actually at the point, if Wyoming gets to the point where Montana, Colorado, Utah, Idaho, Nebraska, Iowa, the rest of the states don't actually start interposing as well. In other words, you start interposing because your condition and circumstances are unique. As a matter of fact, there are conditions that the federal government has created in many of the western states that do not exist in the eastern states. So we can't expect the eastern states to even get involved. But every state that is being directly abused by losing their land and actually having the federal government coming in and taking that land out of commission, taking that land so it is no longer productive land, whether that be mining, timber, agriculture, it doesn't matter. Seizing that land and saying it is, you know, like what they call protected environmental species, what have you. So, as the state actually begins to interpose, the other states need to be acting too. This is why this doesn't really start, because we see the fact that we already have a governor in Wyoming that's not doing anything. And let's just take one issue. Wyoming has a little bit of coal in it, right? A little bit. And so... the coal industry has been completely shut down by the federal government, but not just by the federal government. They've been completely shut down by the western states. And the fact is that the governor has not done anything to actually go after those western states that are violating the Commerce Clause.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, this is where you actually have other states playing warfare tactics against the centralized states. And they don't care. As a matter of fact, many of these these coastal states are surrendering more and more of their land. As a matter of fact, in Washington state, they're bending over backwards to basically give the federal government and Indian tribes unconstitutionally their state land. This is happening. And if it's happening in a few states, it's going to be happening in your state. Consequently, when the governor is doing nothing and these things keep on going and going, one state needs to actually start taking a stand. But this doesn't happen in a vacuum. In other words, you just don't have a king that starts acting on their own. As a matter of fact, what has to happen is the king needs to have, or I should say the governor, needs to have the state legislature get engaged and start pushing this, okay? So as it moves forward, because what he's talking about, plural number being used in every application of the term, if it moves forward and it continues to move, and the let's just say from the Dakotas and Montana, Wyoming, and Idaho, and Utah, and Nebraska, and Kansas, and all of these states, and Iowa, you know, you got the heartland, except for maybe Colorado. But you've got the heartland, and, you know, stopping at Minnesota, because you've got the wishy-washy blue wall that went red this last election. And so you look at the heartland of America, and these states are firm in wanting their liberties back, and they want their land back, and they want nothing to do with the federal government. If it comes to the point that this movement does not grow, then those states will likely secede. And what will happen is you'll now have the states in the center of the United States that will actually be, you know, create an island of the West Coast and the East Coast. You see my point? Because you that'll go all the way down to Arizona. You may not have New Mexico. So New Mexico and Colorado may actually be a little peninsula in the center. But as you moved to the west or to the east of those states, Oklahoma, and you looked into Texas, Missouri, Arkansas, all the way up to Minnesota, you'll have this huge donut kind of effect. And these states have a right to secede. And watch what happens as that happens, as these states actually start pulling out. And, you know, if those governors actually take their militia back and they actually start shooting down those chemtrail planes, are we going to actually see the president of the United States start escorting chemtrails with defending jets? Are we actually going to see that they're going to admit that they're waging chemical warfare against us? Because right now, we're not even defending ourselves. They don't have to protect that aircraft that's attacking us. That's how stupid and how basically pacifist we are acting as the great grandparents here.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So... He basically lays it out, plural being the number used in every application or term. So, but we're in an interesting conundrum, because as we start looking at, you know, where the union is, and Madison even said this, he didn't think that the interior states would actually stay in the United States, because he felt that the interest of the interior states would be that diverse and that much different. We've all kind of come along together, but I think we finally reached that point where, you know, those on the coast, their heads are so wet that it's the mildew has rotted their thinking. Anyway, let's go ahead and read 13 for right now, and while you're doing that, I'll scan forward to the next kind of clump that we want to read. So go ahead.
Okay. In the next place, the course and scope of the reasoning requires that by the rightful authority to interpose in the cases and for the purpose referred to was meant not the authority of the states singly and separately, but their authority as the parties to the Constitution, the authority which in fact made the Constitution.
Okay. Now, as we look at the fact, because he's repeating himself, right? He's saying everything he said back in the report, that, you know, the states are the ones that created that, and they have the authority thereover. So go ahead and read the next one.
The authority which being paramount to the Constitution was paramount to the authorities constituted by it, to the judiciary as well as the other authorities.
Okay. Keep going.
The resolution clearly derives the asserted right of interposition for arresting the progress of usurpations by the federal government.
Yes. Okay. So the resolution clearly derives the asserted right of interposition for arresting the progress of usurpations by the federal government. Keep going.
From the fact that its powers were limited to the grant made by the states, a grant certainly not made by a single party to the grant, but by the parties to the compact containing the grant.
Okay. So when a state actually starts defending itself and taking back those things not granted, because they're at a point, they're literally having to protect themselves. Go ahead.
The mode of their interposition in extraordinary cases is left by the resolution to the parties themselves, as the mode of interposition lies with the parties to other constitutions. In the event of usurpations of power not remediable
remember, this is notes, so his language and grammar.
Okay. Under the in the forms and by the means provided by the constitutions.
Right. Okay, so in other words, folks, as we start interposing and as we all start working together in the interposition process, right, it's not going to be a coordinated effort. And it could be. It'd be great if it was. But bottom line, I honestly think that if the states started coordinating, then before they acted, then I would see that the great grandchild, because of its power that's amassed and its technology and those types of things that it has at its disposal, will try to thwart those things. I wouldn't put it past them that people would just go away in the Italian sense. And so if it be asked why a claim by a single party to the constitutional compact to arrest a law deemed by it a branch of the compact was not expressly guarded against, the simple answer is sufficient that a pretense so novel, so anomalous, so anarchical was not and could not be participated. So go ahead, let's read the third. And in the third place.
And in the third place, the nullifying claim for a single state is palpably irreconcilable with the effect contemplated by the interposition claimed by the resolution for the parties to the Constitution, namely that of maintaining within the respective limits of the states the authorities, rights, and liberties appertaining to them.
Keep going.
Nothing can be more clear than that. These authorities of the states, in other words, the authority and laws of the U.S., must be the same in all, or that this cannot continue to be the case.
That's right. Go ahead.
If there be a right in each to annul or suspend within itself the operation of the laws and authority of the whole U.S.
Okay, so right. And this is where he goes that there cannot be different laws in different states on subjects within the compact without subverting its fundamental principles and rendering it as abortive in practice as it would be incongruous in theory. In other words, he's saying that we can't continue going down this path of allowing an anarchy to where there's completely an inconsistency of, you know, holding the federal government and containing the federal government outside of the states. So that's why I'm saying, as this grows and grows, if all of the states choose not to come along, you know, in other words, the coastal states don't want to interpose. Now, let's look at it this way. This is why Republic is seeing Republic Review and how this happens and how this slowly and gradually moves forward. We'll actually find that how many states go look at the red states that will probably come along with Wyoming. And as a matter of fact, let me see if I've got it legislative control open. I don't have that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to pull that up. And I say that because when I look at... When I look at the United States and I look at the the legislative control. And I do not have the 2024, the 2024 map. In other words, I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you that there are more red states now than there were last term. And when we look at the 24 states, I'm going to pull it up here. When I look at the 24 states and the states in control, I should say legislative control, then that is where we can actually legislative control of 2022. All right, so this is where I can actually tell you that when we look at Wyoming going all the way down to Pennsylvania, these are the red states, state legislatures in 2022. That'll be more than this in 2024. Now, as we look, that's 31 states. Will Pennsylvania? I don't think Pennsylvania will actually do what's necessary. New Hampshire may, probably not. But I believe Arizona and the rest of the states, will actually start getting on board. In other words, the people of those states will start getting on board with interposing and taking it back. Because at that point in time, do you think, because what's keeping us from doing this right now? What's keeping us from interposing and taking back the powers that are actually belong to the states and not the federal governments? The reason that we're not doing this is because the federal government has us all believing that they can do these things. In other words, they've created the facade that nobody's challenging. When all of a sudden the challenge becomes legitimate, when all of a sudden people realize, hey, they really don't have these powers. You know, go figure. How did that happen? Well, that's where somebody in the room would say, it doesn't matter how it happened. It's got to stop now. Now, as we go down, and we'll get into this because we got less than a minute left. There's this. The reason we've continued on is because he's covering in this long, large, logical argument how all of these things fit. And he's going to talk about the direct taxes and apportionments and how the union really works and why it actually has to be enough. Now, going back to Republic Review, folks, when you actually have 29 states that have enough control over the representatives, where you've got, it's not 29 states that are wishy-washy. We've got 29 states that are interposing. And they're actually going to make sure that their representation in Congress is going to do what's necessary to actually undo all of this work. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because even though the states, and now we're just basically just minutes away or seconds away, when all of the states actually start figuring all this out, then all of a sudden it no longer becomes this mystery of how do we do this? Because it's about inflicting and holding our public servants accountable to the supreme law of the land. We can inflict the law upon them because the law says they can't remain in office if they're not supporting the Constitution. And that's how it'll be done. Anyway, we'll expand on this in our next episode. I'm G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.